Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show. The international break is over mercifully. We do this every single time. Like, we've not been doing this show for 8 years, but the vast majority of which, this is just the international break's over. There's a genuine mixture of...
So are we going to talk about some injuries then? Because
we've got injuries to talk about. Happens. Naturally, how much international football's a bit shit. All that to come. But yeah, because Paige, as you can see, John Machen and Matty Harding as well. Liverpool versus Huddersfield Town, or Huddersfield Town versus Liverpool, to be, you know, to be precise. Because we talked a bit about this on the podcast this week, and how we've been talking about how Liverpool had a really tough start to the season, and rightly so, because they have, and how our nearest rivals in City and Chelsea have had a comparatively much easier start to the season, and yet, you know, we're kind of toe to toe with them. What in a more general sense for me, we had this real sense going into this season that we've got a really, really good team and we're really, really good at football and this is going to be a really, really good season for us. I do feel like because we've had this little tricky spell and because we've not steamrolled it and won, I do feel like the edge has been taken off that a touch, but I've had time over the last 2 weeks to kind of reflect. Have a break and reflect and think we are really, really good. And ultimately, this is what the Huddersfield game, the Cardiff game, the Red Star games represent, is an opportunity for this side to prove just how good it is.
Yeah, and not just the side itself, but with the injuries, the squad. And I think that's important, isn't it? We haven't seen loads and loads of rotation, but I think we will start to see a little bit of that. And you look at who Huddersfield have played as well, and you know, Chelsea have beaten them by 3 goals. City snotted them by, was it 6-1, something like that. Tottenham went to Huddersfield and beat them 2-0. Now, if we're as good as those sides, we have to match those results.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you don't go all out and you score 6 goals like Manchester City, but a workman like 2-0 win against Huddersfield with them not having a sniff like Tottenham, then maybe that's something that this Liverpool side should be doing. And I do think we're really good.
Yeah.
And we're sat top of the table with the other two teams for a reason. We're all really good sides.
Yeah.
And now's the time where if we're going to prove that we can win this league, now's the time where we've got to get 12 points out of 12.
Exactly. I think that's the thing for me, Dad, is that we've shown that we are very, very good. If our sneaking suspicion that we might be the best is to come to fruition, well, this is the opportunity, because you don't... I don't want to qualify things or jinx things or blah, blah, blah. It's all bollocks. Huddersfield are terrible. Huddersfield don't score goals and concede loads of goals. You know, it doesn't have to be a 7-0 or a 6-0 or whatever, but Liverpool should go and you know, if they want to prove the weight, they have to go. They should go win this one handsomely.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the games they played and if you read their match reports, basically they give everyone hell. They come out and they're really energetic, and they put themselves about and they do everything they can to stop teams from beating them. And the good teams still beat them.
Yeah.
The rubbish teams get a draw with them.
Yeah.
You know, or Everton, I think, drew with them.
Well, it's Cardiff interesting you should say that, because they have drawn 3 times this season. Those draws, they're coming against Cardiff, Everton. Draw from that conclusion.
Barely they drew there, didn't they? And, you know, the good City, their goal difference is better than ours because they beat Huddersfield 6-1, basically. And, you know, we said before the international break, you know, the games when you worry about our forwards are coming up.
Yeah.
You don't worry about them not scoring against City.
Yeah.
You do worry if they don't score against Huddersfield and Cardiff. So,
yeah.
You know, this is a big test.
Well, exactly. And that's what I mean. It's a big test in a really weird way, isn't it, Matty? Because of that, because there's always expectation on them because they scored loads of goals last season. It was telling that this time last year is when Liverpool really started to kick up a gear. It's like a year. I mean, we're filming this on Wednesday. It's a year, almost the day, I think, since Oxlade-Chamberlain scored his first goal for Liverpool, and it was telling that was the beginning of us seeing what Liverpool would go on to become for the rest of the season. That's what this is. And it's not something to be feared. It's not something we should be nervous about because we've got last season. We've seen that these lads can do it, but it doesn't detract from the fact these are the pressures of football and at the top end of football, these lads do have to go out and perform, but you'd be confident in them doing that.
Oh yeah, I think the bonus is, to follow on from what your dad was saying, is that they do come out and they are energetic. They're not someone, at least I hope, that's just going to sit back and wait for us and say, well, come on then, you know, try and get through us. Even though they haven't shown they've got a good defensive record, it would suit us to be in a position where we have a team that's trying to get at us, because we know if a team comes up and does that, unless they're exceptional at it, you know, I'm talking like the top 10 in the world, we're going to pick them apart, and we've done it time and time again. And I think it's games like these where you're really looking to sort of make up the goal difference, which, you know, if we can get 12 points out of 12, you know.
It feels like a dangerous conversation to have this, though, doesn't it, Chris? Like, to be talking about, you know, and I think that's...
No, I'm not buying into that this year. I think you said it before, you said it's bollocks.
Yeah.
We've got nothing to do with them. The lads perform what we say here on these couches, you know what I mean? The lads have got their own pressures to deal with, and they'll be thinking about what they need to be thinking of. They'll be getting focused, and they'll be looking around the dressing room going, these are all good players, these are all international calibre players, and we're better than Huddersfield. If we want to win the league, we've got to go and prove it. We've got to go and beat Huddersfield, we've got to go and snot Huddersfield, we've got to go and score goals against them.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You know, a side here who's drawn three games in the league and lost five, they'll be looking at it going, oh, we can't take another 6-1 hammering, because it might come down to goal difference for us at the end of the year. I know they're in the relegation zone already, it's far too early to look forward, but with them not scoring goals, they need to start thinking about how many they're shipping. And I actually think that they will do that against us a little bit, because, you know, they're only 2 points behind Fulham, but they'll be looking at this game and they'll almost be a wounded animal as well, in that everyone expects them to lose this.
Yeah.
So why can't they go and try and get 3 points as well? You know, there's the two ways. I'm not sure which way they're going to go.
Yeah,
it's 3 points that they'll never get if they go for it, or you look at hold on the goal difference.
It's one of those, isn't it? You know, I remember a couple of moments against Huddersfield last year where a few shots across the bow and the game could have gone differently without luck. This is another one of those situations where, and we're going to come to talk about it, obviously people's preferred 11s, because I think this is one of the most interesting conversations we'll have had on this segment in there so far this season. But you've got to hope that the balance that we've managed to strike so far should help us not be... We can afford to go a bit more. We can afford to go attacking because they're not a great threat. We can be tied to the back, so they shouldn't cause us problems. They should cause us less problems than they did last season. And hopefully, this is the opportunity for us to kick on and do a bit more. That injuries are it's the major thing. Chris referenced it right up top. The back of an international break, we came out unscathed out of the last one. Very much not the case this time around. You know, now
this was like, what? How many injuries can you think of? And we're going to have one of them for each of our players.
This was like a charge of the Light Brigade moment for Liverpool squad, wasn't it? Where they all headed off into the international duty, just getting
not only have we got like seven injuries returning, but Phil Coutinho's tapping up Bobby Firmino now as well. Oh. I mean, it's a typical bloody Liverpool international break.
The thing is, though, if there was a more ideal moment to have niggly little injuries, it would be after the period we've had going into the period.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go into
the last round of the game.
I wouldn't want to go into Chelsea, Napoli, City with doubts over the fitness of Salah, Mane. You know,
for me, no, that's intent.
I mean, this time last year, if we'd come back with these kind of injuries, we'd be up the creek.
Yeah.
But we're not this time.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have to play Fabinho.
Yeah. Literally forgot his name.
While
saying it, that was impressive.
But if we have to play him and Shaqiri and Sturridge, then, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, last year it would have been.
Yeah.
Well, I did my preferred 11, just to prove your point. I forgot Fabinho. And I did it and went, oh, yeah. Oh, well, we've got a bit of depth there, because I've not really picked any players that are injured in mine.
Well, we had this conversation last night, and we talked about the strength of Liverpool's squad, is that we talked about arguably, depending whether you count Shaqiri as a midfielder or not, Adam Lallana is either our sixth or seventh choice midfielder, and Curtis Jones is there, therefore either seventh or eighth. And I would be perfectly happy to see either of those lads get a game for Liverpool, particularly now in these kind of games. But at any level, if we had to throw one of those lads in against the Manchester City or whatever, I wouldn't think it was as good as Oxlade-Chamberlain, for example. But that's the nature of where we are. But you know, as we know, for those of you who have had their heads buried in the sand over the last fortnight, which is fair. Milner picked up was obviously injured. Prior to going on international duty, has apparently defied all medical reason to put himself in contention.
He's a robot. He's a 32-year-old robot.
I feel like James Milner may have made a deal with the devil or something. You know, at some point in the last year or so,
some kind of like death becomes her deal.
Yeah. Yes. Sure. Reference. Fantastic reference. You could literally.
No one's getting that.
You could put a tight reference. You could put a. You could put a hole through James Milner and he would still be absolutely fine. So he could be in contention. Mo Salah, the talk is that he will be fit.
Is that the first time death becomes has been mentioned on Red Men TV?
Probably not, just because we're odd. but there you go.
We've not mentioned Harry Potter a lot this season.
There's so many just blank faces around us. You remember Death Becomes Her, right, Dan?
Bruce Willis
and Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep. Matty, no? No, I'm not even going to. No? No? No, not a chance. You've not even seen Star Wars, have you? No, that's fine. terrible. Absolutely incredible reference, though. Mohamed Salah, yeah, again, he should be in contention for this, despite the fact that he limped off against Swaziland. Brilliant. Virgil van Dijk came home after the first game. He's in contention as well, which is all very, very good stuff.
Red.
And then But we were very much going, okay, well, this is fine. We can handle this. And then Mane, there's an X-ray does the round of Mane's thumb, which is just got a big bit missing off the side of it. And then Keita, it gets carried. Like a bit like Forrest Gump, Forrest carrying Bubba out of the jungle in Forrest Vietnam.
Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump.
We've got a
note
from Amy.
Kater being carried off the pitch because no stretcher was available apparently. Boo international football. Boo to you. So we're gonna have that. We've got no choice here but to probably flex our squad muscles a little bit. But I agree with Matty because I think that we talk about this and how. When's a good game not to play your strongest team? Well, there's no such thing. You should just play your strongest team every single week. But what that you inevitably come to a moment where what happens when you need to play these guys? It's actually, in some regards, a little bit better that this has happened now because it might be a breakout game.
I mean, you're right. There's never a good time to, but there are preferred times and games against two of the bottom three who both haven't won a game of football in the Premier League would be. You know, right up there. Yeah. And actually, not Newcastle because of the Rafa factor. Yes. So it's the other two.
Yeah.
You couldn't actually cherry pick it any better, could you?
No, but, it's true.
And this squad, and some of these lads do need to play football. And I thought we would rotate in this area of the season anyway. And I feel like the injuries have forced that upon Klopp probably a little bit. My issue is when it's two games a week, can you then rotate those players? Because what happens is if you're bringing in Fabinho, who doesn't really have a lot of minutes, and you're bringing in Sturridge, who doesn't really have loads and loads of minutes, are they able to do two games a week? And at that point, I'm
Sturridge,
looking at it going, maybe
no.
Not.
No, but you'd hope, like Shaqiri basically played every game for Stoke last season, didn't he? So you know that he's got the ability to play a lot of football. Fabinho, it might just be...
He hasn't played a lot, that's
the
issue, the
thing
it?
For Fabinho, though, and why this could end up being a good time for him, is because I look and I go, where the hell does Fabinho get his game? How do you get Fabinho up to speed? Because if he needs to play, he does need to play games, but you're just going to tell Jordan Henderson he's not playing for 2 weeks while Fabinho gets a look in? Like, potentially, but how does he prove himself better than those guys? You can only give the manager an inkling. You look at
our midfield now. I mean, we've talked about Milner, probably he's suddenly fit again, but he might not be quite fit enough to play.
Yeah.
So we've only got Henderson and Ginny left.
Yeah.
So Fabinho is suddenly third choice midfield player.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the beauty of buying those kind of players.
Yeah.
Eventually they will get their chance, you know.
Imagine having an injury crisis and going, all right, you know what, that new signing, the £50 million man, we'll just use him,
we'll just play our, we'll just play our Brazilian international.
Sounds.
You see Klopp go, didn't we buy someone else?
Well, no, but this is...
What's his name?
But this is the point.
Fabinho! Where are you? Yeah.
But the funny thing about that, again, and we'll come on to preferred 11s, of course, but Adam Lallana's going... Boss!
He's been locked in a cupboard for months, mate, with a physio.
Boss, I'm back! He's running towards him on the training ground, and obviously it takes a bit longer because he's
cracks himself.
He's become the new player that's like playing cat and mouse with injuries. Do you know what I mean? It was Sturridge for X amount of time.
I think it's his turn to keep the really injured, long-term injured company. You know, so he's got to keep Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain happy.
Yeah.
So he's always getting injured.
Team morale, definitely.
If you could have an injured captain, it would be Adam Lallana, wouldn't it? Someone who's there and an influence the entire time.
Absolutely. Come on, boss. You stay in there with him. Keep him happy.
Yeah. Definitely not coming to Bournemouth with us.
Right, okay, we're going to do preferred 11s and we'll talk about a couple of these players in a bit more depth in a moment. Before we do, a little plug, the fantastic newsroom podcast that Chris did last week with Melissa Reddy, a wonderful piece of content is on the redmentv.com. Have a little look now.
A lot of times I think athletes thrive in these type of situations. What's bad for one athlete might be great for another. And in this case, it's bad for James Milner, but it could be the catalyst to start Naby Keita's season.
I'm actually remembering at Salzburg, he had a similar start, Naby, and it was Mane who was saying to him, relax, be patient, you've signed a long contract, you know, your time's going to come. When you get your opportunity, you make sure you maximise your opportunity and you stay in. And, you know, obviously, we know how he's gone since when I was doing that Jürgen Klopp studio show for Premier League Productions, Paul Lambert was there. And Paul Lambert has watched Jürgen's training sessions a lot. He did it over at Borussia Dortmund. He's also very clued up on the Bundesliga. And he went to watch Naby, I think, while he was still at Salzburg, if I'm not mistaken. And he told me he had a conversation with Ranić and said to him, your number 8 is going to be worth 50 million one day. And 50 million, when he said it, was like, you know, 100 million, 150 million now. But what he's able to offer, the fact that he's practically two players in one, if it's catching the eye of managers, and when you listen to all the things Jürgen has said about him, you know that there is a lot of quality in there. And you cannot write players off after 5 games, 6 games, 7 games, especially when you know the demanding system they're coming in to execute.
Yes, get involved. As I say, it is free for the first month, and we've got a brand spanking new website. Not a brand new spanking website.
That's well more than £5 a month.
Just to clarify. But yeah, you can go check out the redmentv.com, and I say, if you want all this extra content, it's fantastic. We're doing the Final Word show, which is 60 minutes after every single game, looking in depth and detail. Stats and tactics, Reds News Roundup, there are podcast versions of absolutely everything we do as well.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You can get your podcast in your podcast, but it's boss. It's very, very good. And at the moment, last week, it is the cherry on top of all that was the wonderful Melissa Reddy and the wonderful Chris Pajak as well, just to make sure that you get you do care and attention. And I was going to go for a full hand squeeze, but
you could have gone for a full hand squeeze.
This is the internet. No, I'm comfortable with it.
Just off camera, we'll just save that for us.
Let's get stuck into preferred 11s then. This is a very uncomfortable show. It's great.
Feels like one of Steve's shows, this.
Matty, hi. You have gone for Alisson, Sven, Gomez, Van Dijk, Robertson, and a very, very interesting combination of players moving forward from that. A midfield three, let's discuss this first, the Fabinho anchoring with Hendo in more of a box-to-box role.
Yeah.
And Gini Wijnaldum in there as well.
Yeah, I had a real quandary with this because of the sort of the touch and go with the injury situation. Yep. But I thought, play it safe. No point risking Milner, really, even if he says, you know. So I think Hendo's more than capable of playing that box-to-box role. I mean, he's done it throughout his whole career. It was only in the past couple of seasons where he's playing that six. And then the front three of Shaqiri, Sludgy and Firmino. Now, Mane has got the hand injury, so I'm sure he could play if need be, but you don't really... I don't think we need him. And then Sturridge, you know, he played against PSG and Chelsea and scored in both. Yeah. So, well, in all three.
Yeah,
so,
to be fair.
You know, and then Shaqiri, I think he's earned a real 90 minutes, you know, get time under his belt. So,
no, it's interesting. And it's that team, that's still a bloody good team, isn't it? And you've taken out Firmino, Salah, for the start out of that, you know. So, yeah, no, very, very, very interesting stuff. Dad, you've gone basically as strong as you can possibly go. Probably more in hope than expectations.
I mean, for all the talk about how we've got a great squad and we can rotate, I really don't want us to. I want us to play our best 11.
Yeah.
You know, so... And I put Lovren in, and I didn't really want to, but I did. I don't know why I did.
Yeah, so you've got Gomez, sort of Lovren is the major change for you. Henderson, Milner, Gini, midfield, Salah, Firmino, Mane. This is the point for me, is I agree, and it was just a point that Chris and I discussed on the podcast. I think Cardiff might be one of those games where we can do something a bit mad. I think it's so important that we get back underway post-internationals that... The injury thing will be a factor, and a lot of this will depend on, look, we don't know how many minutes Salah will be allowed to play. We don't know if he is really allowed to play, whether he's only going to be allowed for the bench. We don't know whether Mane is going to be able to play with a broken hand, etc., etc.
He should be all right.
Well, exactly. I totally agree with you in that sense, that if I was Jurgen Klopp, I would probably go with my absolute best team, and maybe one change. You might see Shaqiri, and if you're going to lose Salah
first
for three
and
games.
Foremost, you want to win the game. You know, I know we've had all this talk about how many goals are going to score, but basically the first thing you have to do is get the 3 points.
Yeah.
You know, so you put a team out that's going to do that job. As for Cardiff, I think they'll be more difficult because I do think they'll park the bus really, you know, double park.
Yeah.
And, you know, we may well need the likes of Shaqiri and Sturridge, you know, as substitutes to try and break that down later on.
Yeah. Milner's the only interesting one in this, because I must admit I agree with Matty a little bit here, Chris, is that I think we need to make sure he's right for Europe. I think we need to keep him. I wouldn't want to go. You think about how important he was and ended up being in the Maribor games and that kind of stuff last season, and just how important he is to that team in general. To be fair, you went for Henderson, Genie, Ankerin. Shock, everyone, by the way. Can we just say, absolute shock. If you can guess, I'm going to give everyone a second, regular views of the show. What formation do you think Chris went with?
Five at the back?
No.
Oh, right.
Not a regular viewer.
Three not a regular viewer. Not a regular viewer. Comments below? Comments below. Five, four, three, two. Four, two, three, one.
Yeah,
of course.
I've been right once this season. I look at it and I've got a slightly different viewpoint to John and to you, Paul, is that, and it's probably more aligned with Matt, is that I just feel like this season we don't want to be taking too many risks on a lot of things. And, you know, hamstring for Milner, groin strain for Lallana, Keita's a hammy, Salah's a hammy. They're all groins and strains and, you know, they're not tears and stuff, which is a good thing. But you know yourself, when you play on something like that, when you know, even at our level at five a side, it just stays there until you stop.
Five a side isn't our level, by the way.
No, no, yeah, good point, well presented. Walking football, it just stays there until you stop, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, if you can, and we have the squad, and I've got the trust in the squad, that you change that up. So personally, it'll be like a Henderson or Wijnaldum. I did a completely forgettable Fabinho, to be fair.
Yeah.
And then I'd look at Mane on the right-hand side. I'd look at Shaqiri back in that 10. I'd look at Firmino on the left-hand side. And I'd look at Daniel Sturridge up top. And I'd just say, I think that side's good enough to beat Huddersfield. I think, you know, they're conceding on average expected goals against like 1.68 a game. You know, they've only scored four goals all season long in eight games. I think they've conceded 17, something like that. So it's a side that we should be able to beat with our second string. You know, we put out a side against Chelsea with the back five that got us to the top four 2 years ago, and we gave a good fist of it.
Yeah.
We're playing Huddersfield.
Yeah.
And I feel like the players in our squad are good enough to go and beat them.
I think this is, yeah, the issue we've got is that every game is a must-win game. Now, of course, you've got a differing level of difficulty of opposition you're facing, but I look at it and I go, I want to make sure we're strong enough to win the next game, and I want to make sure we're enough to win the next game. So that's where the interest and balance is going to be. I went team-wise, as much as I know it's a preferred 11, I could have gone full strength in this regard. I was thinking, I have thought a little bit of rotation, but I've rotated elsewhere. Van Dijk, for me, is the one guy you don't need for this game. I think you need, I've gone for Matip and Gomez as my centre-back pairing.
Okay.
Because I don't think you need Lovren. I don't think you need barely Lovren flying into tackles and doing whatever. I think you need a lad who's cool on the ball and can pass. I think that's our most creative back pair in the absence of Van Dijk. And midfield three, I've just let in Fabinho anchor. Again, a lot of this is dependent on who is fully fit and what have you, of course, but an ideal world, Lallana and Genie in front. Get him, if Lallana's fit to get minutes, let's start getting him playing. Let's see if he can have an impact. And Genie Wijnaldum is an absolute no-brainer. He had a brilliant international break. He looks class. I want to see him get forward more and try and do some more stuff. But then I've gone, if you can get them on the pitch, Salah, Firmino, Mane, because they need goals. Those lads need to start scoring some goals. They need to start getting back into the swing of scoring goals. And it's all well and good for Sturridge. And I think the Red Star games in particular, I think you can't, although we need to win, we do need to win those games as well. I think a slower pace in European football, if Daniel Sturridge can do it against PSG in the Champions League, he can damn sure do it against Red Star Belgrade in the Champions League as well. So, yeah, I think we can rotate elsewhere.
We're going to know much more about Klopp's potential for rotation after these next three games.
Yeah.
You know, because at the moment, I have no clue. He's frequently surprised me by not rotating.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, you know, what's going to happen over these three games.
Yeah.
And by the end of that, we should have some idea about how he's
going to do it.
That
logic follows. Your team is going to be the team that he goes with largely, you know, and with the only provisos being on if someone's physically not capable of taking to the starting 11. Because there's no evidence to suggest that he'll do anything mad, really, other than we talked about this, the one outlier is the Southampton game at home where we went a bit more attacking, got one more attacking in there, and Shaqiri, which I I have an inkling that, that we'll see more of that in these games, because particularly Cardiff, if Cardiff are going to say, yeah, no, you're all right, we're going to come to Anfield and we're going to defend for our lives, then get another, get absolutely, get more, yeah, get one more attacker on the pitch, because why not? But it should be no surprise to anyone if Salah, Firmino, Mane, if they're fit to play, they will play every one of these, they will start every one of these games.
And can you put like a club on Mane as well? You're allowed to do that in footy, because they do it in the American footy all the time. Like, and literally, you see these guys with clubs, and you're thinking, oh, "That looks a bit dangerous." I mean, you're using your arms a lot more in the American football and stuff like that. You can protect this thumb. You know what I mean?
I mean, Ron Yates famously had a steel plate put in his arm and played against Tony Hatley, who was, you know, a very, very good header of the ball. And every time he went up, he smacked him in the head.
Well, I was going to say, this was, I was actually going to make a Lex Luger wrestling reference. He did exactly the same thing, has the metal thing put it out, and that becomes his finishing move. Yeah, give him a protective cast. The wrestling has done this all the hard work for us here. Give him, go further, do like Evil Dead, chainsaw hand, whatever. Whatever he can get away with.
But he's like a big kid, isn't he, Manny?
Yeah.
I reckon if you put some kind of a cast or something on it, he's going to be walking around the pitch looking at it, you know, like a child. Looking sad.
Yeah, get with a ruler, trying to scratch down it. Like, yeah, very, very interesting stuff. But yeah, no, as I say, logic follows that we know exactly what Liverpool are going to look like if it's available. But you're dead right. I do feel like we'll see something, but you know, we won't know until the weekend, of course. Just to look around at our rivals then. Saturday, I am so looking forward to, because we've just had like 3 weeks of us being the game where you've just got to clench your way through it. Prior to that point, we had one every week or so of a big rival playing each other. Chelsea Man United as the early kickoff on Saturday.
Well, you said a big rival playing each other.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Chelsea playing Man United, that's a big rival.
Historical rival.
Sorry, yeah, okay.
Playing a current league rival. Rub your hands together. This has got Man United taking points off Chelsea all over it for me. All over it. Because they shouldn't. Chelsea should come and absolutely wipe the floor with Man United, because they're at home. Man United are crap. Man United got battered by West Ham away from home. So they stand to reason they should get battered here. But Jose... It's Chelsea. All the pressure's on Mourinho.
I've never been more convicted for a result.
I was going to say, what have you been up to?
I can't think of the word now. Like, I can't decide who want to win.
Conflicted. Like,
conflicted, there we go.
Jinx.
buy my coat.
Paul James Wakeshire.
But I've never been more conflicted, because I don't know which outweighs what. My hatred for Mourinho... Or sorry, did I say it again?
No.
Just jinxed him on the video.
Jinxed me on the show. Oh my god. Can't believe
you jinxed
me. And then actually unjinxed me.
Well, I don't want to host.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, I haven't been more conflicted. Mourinho,
conflicted. Sorry, Chris has broken me. It's fine.
My hatred for Mourinho, or my hatred for. Not my hatred for Chelsea, but the fact that they're the one who we're competing at the moment. I'm trying to figure out, shall I go for the logical Man United beat Chelsea for our sake?
Yes.
Or, yeah, fuck Mourinho.
No.
What did you go with?
I haven't decided. That's
still conflicted.
Still convicted. Convicted. Yeah, very convicted. What about you, Dad? Are you convicted over this one in any way, shape or form?
As long as Chelsea don't win, I'll be happy.
Yeah, no. I always say this... As far as rivals go, it's draws for me all day.
I think Chelsea might sack Mourinho here.
Ooh.
That's what I was thinking.
Twice.
Yeah. Twice. Real three times.
Yeah. A lady.
I thought the same thing.
That popped into my head.
Fantastic. Man City have got Burnley at 3 o'clock. Spurs travel to West Ham. Then we're obviously the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Man City, Burnley, if it was the other way around, I'd be thinking maybe Sunday. Burnley have been a bit better since they've
this
got
this is the seventh time Man City have had Burnley at home this season. I'm convinced of it. They play them every weekend apart from the one when they played us.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think anyone would be banking on Burnley to get anything from this. I put a lot of eggs in Burnley's defensive basket last week because they played Huddersfield and Huddersfield are out in crap. And Huddersfield snuck a 1-1 draw with them. Joe Hart and Tarkovsky, me bankers for points that week in Fantasy Football, straight in the bin. Everton played Palace. I don't even know why I put that in there. It was just there. And Arsenal take on Leicester on the Monday. Arsenal coming up the hill at the moment. That's a really interesting one because Leicester have had Leicester have had Arsenal's number a bit of times.
Who Arsenal beat this season that have been like serious? Like, because I know everyone's going on about 9 win streak.
I must admit, I've enjoyed watching them. You know, from both ends of the pitch, defensively, I've enjoyed the instability that they've had at the back, trying to pass it out. And offensively, I think they've been much improved. The fact is, they're starting to get results, aren't they? And that's a worry because he's clearly a good manager. You know, he's got pedigree, hasn't he? They're 2 points behind us.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of points behind us. And yet, I don't think they're anywhere near their level yet. But you are right, Matt. You know, they played... Was it City on the first game of the season or was it Chelsea?
City-Chelsea is the first two games. That's where they dropped the points.
And since then, they've been pretty damn good. But as far as like when we come up against them, I think we're the better side.
I don't mind Arsenal being in decent form coming up to play us because I think they'll feel like they are back and ready. But I do think we're just so much further along in our development. I think that we will see levels when we come to that game. But all that being told, I think Leicester might give them a bit of a bloody nose.
Well, you know what, Vardy always causes us trouble when we've been trying to play out from the back with our poorer defenders over the years. He'll give them trouble in exactly the same way if he's fit and starting.
Yeah, absolutely. So very, very interesting stuff regardless. It'd be nice to... that Arsenal game, it just feels like a nice bit of Monday evening fun, hopefully with all the 3 points wrapped up and you get to just sit back and watch hopefully things crumble to dust. Gents, what do you think the score is going to be? Liverpool, Huddersfield, Matty?
I'll go for 3-0.
Dad?
4-0.
Okay. 3-0. Yeah, I'll take a 6-0. I don't know. I'll take a 4-0 to Liverpool. Why not? I'd like this to be that game where we just absolutely explode in a furry. Like, we've been so contained and we've had to play this contained football to be sensible and all this. And I'd just like us to be just mad as a box of frogs again in this and just come windmilling out the traps. And if Huddersfield get in the way, it's their own fault.
Little Shaqiri windmilling.
Oh, yeah. And then doing the whoop, 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 running around in a circle on the floor as a celebration on his side.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might do that for my fan reaction if we win.
Right there. Everyone slip the table out.
On the table, yeah.
No, I'm not on the table. It's glass. I mean, it looks like turf. Just spoilers. Still the same glass table. Anyway, thanks for watching the build-up show. It's been an absolute ball. I've been jinxed and we've had a lesson in words. A masterclass right there, in a nutshell. Fantastic. Thanks for watching. If you think we're good enough to pay money for us, you can do on the redmentv.com. You can go to sign up for all the extra content where we say things like good stuff and football and words and conflicted and convected and everything in between. Thanks. See you all soon, gents. Pleasure. We'll be back post-match. See you soon. Ta-da.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.